Well, welcome to our final lesson on alcohol. This is simply testimonies. And before we get into it, I really am only going to read these testimonies. There's about 38 of them. And I have four positives, testimonies, and then do the math, 34 negatives. And I do want to give kind of like a disclaimer. Some of these are graphic. I did not clean up any of the language. There's no vulgarity. It is just crass language. So if you're listening by pod school or podcast, I will use some sexual terms. Some of them, thankfully, they are pretty sanitized, but there is some graphic stuff. And I will say this before I start. This has probably been the most heart-wrenching thing I've ever done in our church as far as just asking you anonymously, give me your alcohol testimonies. I was not expecting this at all. My heart hurts for many of our people in our church who are sharing these because it means the hell they went through because of alcohol. And I said, I think a couple weeks ago in these lessons, if I had led with these testimonies, we wouldn't need to teach. These testimonies are enough to go, that's all I need. That's all I need. No reason to touch it. We have water, coffee, and Coca-Cola. God bless that trinity of water, coffee, and Coca-Cola. So let's start with positive testimonies. And these are from our church members. All of them are anonymous, and I appreciate you guys trusting me. And I think you gave them under the understanding I would read them anonymously. I've done a little bit of editing for clarity and just for abbreviation, but some of these are kind of lengthy. So number one, seldom use in our family, but we do enjoy it on company visits. So there's a positive that somebody in our church still seldom uses it, but on occasion company comes and they do have some form of alcoholic beverage. Point two, my parents were social drinkers. The occasional party, I never really liked alcohol and neither have my siblings. That's it. So what happened? We got rid of alcohol. Point three, alcohol has had very little effect on our family. We have only ever drank one very tiny glass of red wine with dinner a handful of times throughout the years or cooked with it. In both our extended families, no one drinks or either drinks a very small amount of wine with dinner occasionally. I've never noticed an ill effect. Fourth positive testimony, alcohol was never in our home and never allowed at family gatherings. We were warned of the dangers of alcohol as children. Today, none of the grown siblings use alcohol, therefore no divorces, no tattoos, no alcohol-related disease, no jail time, no child abuse. That's a good testimony. Now, for 9.5 pages of negative, for whatever it's worth. Point five, we don't drink alcohol, but I have in the past. I felt pressured by older family members to drink wine with dinner and eventually gave in. This led to some stronger alcohol in some social settings with work friends, but I never got drunk. I would buy some wine to cook with and would sometimes have a glass of wine because it was in the house, but I never drank beer and never developed a habit of drinking. It just dried up. The desire never stuck. We might more accurately call that one a neutral testimony. Testimony six, alcohol has done a lot to my family. The first instance I remember was being a child, and there was always a bottle of liquor and Bud Light around my grandpa. He stayed belligerent most of the time. He was a yeller and he threw things. He loved us very much, but he definitely had a problem. My dad was never really a drinker, but nor my mom, to my knowledge, but I know stories of my dad getting drunk. By the time I made the decision that I was not going to serve God and sin, alcohol was just a normal choice, and for 14 years, I drank alcohol often, socially and privately. I have given myself away while intoxicated. I made horrible choices to drive while inebriated. My marriage and my parenting suffered due to alcohol and drug use. I was so drunk one point, I prayed that my son would not wake up because I was so drunk I couldn't take care of him. I have been subjected to violence because of alcohol and taken advantage of because of alcohol. I've even have family right now dependent on it. It's not worth buying and consuming. It's broke apart my family connections and marriages. Testimony seven, alcohol in my family is generational, and I have many addicts in my family tree. One significant experience was being a designated driver for my mom. Her friends and her talked about dirty sexual things all night. They pressured my friend to try to drink more, but I told her she absolutely did not have to do anything they said. They even bought her another drink and set it in front of her. The night ended with my mom wetting herself, me driving her home and with her passed out in the back seat, me telling my dad to go out to the car to get her and that I would never do that again. I was 18 years old. All of my family drinks to excess and it never comes to any good. Testimony number eight. First and only time I tried wine instant headache migraine. My dad's parents are mean drunks. I love going to see them until I was old enough to realize that the moment they started drinking wine or beer, they became cruel and nasty to my parents, and as we got older, to us kids too. I started hating being around them, especially my grandfather. He was also brutal, and his hatred for our lifestyle of following after Jesus was the center of his anger. It was like he was mad at us for his sin. He was cruel to my mom, and then dad would step in to take the brunt of it. When my brothers and I got old enough, the anger turned to us kids. All we could do was finish our meal, clean up, and walk to a different area of the house. My grandmother, after years of the verbal abuse, finally started catching him, but she was just as bad when she had too much. So grateful when my mom and dad put their foot down and said no alcohol in their house, especially when they would come over. Testimony number 9, alcohol played a big part in destroying my marriage. My ex started drinking in moderation early on after we were married, but it quickly, without my knowledge, grew to excessive drinking in secret. Being drunk is what she blamed the cheating on. She was unwilling to quit drinking, even though that's what caused the cheating to take place. I will pause here to say, I'm thankful for the testimony that such were some of us, and I would have never guessed that we had these testimonies in our church. I know we're not perfect, but to hear the destruction. We have 30 more of these, and I think we could stop right there and say, I'm sold. Why would we ever bring it into our home in the least bit? Testimony 10. After my parents divorced, my mother married a man who was an alcoholic. He was a seemingly decent man to begin with, but that didn't last. They were married for 5 years. In that time, we lived in a couple of different homes that he put his fist through when he was drunk and angry. He used to carry a bullwhip, but thankfully only threatened with it. When my mother served papers on him, he said someday he would come and back and burn the house down. He told me one time I wouldn't live past 35. I was only 6 when they married, and my mom got rid of him when I was 11. I was always afraid. That's child abuse, to live with a man that causes your children to live in perpetual fear is child abuse. And no child should have to live in that. Testimony 11, I have used alcohol acceptance usage among my friends and my family to gauge how much, if any, fellowship I have with them. It's an instant marker for me to gauge the depth of walk with Jesus. The fervent Christians we know don't drink alcohol. Full stop. That's an observation. Maybe we could move that to the neutral territory. I don't really know where to classify that, but for this individual, whoever they are, they use alcohol's presence in a believer's life to see how much they actually hang out with them, which, having just read the previous 7 or so testimonies, might be pretty safe wisdom. Testimony 12. My dad was an alcoholic growing up. He wasn't physically abusive, but he would lose his temper a lot and said cruel things. In college, I drank a bit, and one time I made a very questionable decision physically that I still feel shame over 20 years later. Until recently, my husband drank occasionally, but when he did, he overdid it. It made me worry, and I just didn't like how he was when he drank, even though he wasn't angry or abusive in any way. One of the common threads we're seeing is fear and abuse. Fear and abuse and neglect. Fear, abuse, and neglect. This is the testimony of alcohol so far. Testimony 13. The worst part of my life was when I had backslidden and got involved with drinking and people that drank as well. During that time, I had a girlfriend that was an alcoholic, and it was bad. Very moody, and she trusted no one, including me. I had no peace or joy during that time. There was always some drama and turmoil going on. These people had no respect for others and just seemed to want to party all the time. I was so glad to get out of that mess by repenting to God, leaving that lifestyle along with those people and going to church again. Thank God for deliverance. Testimony 14. Both sides of my family, maternal and paternal, have been negatively impacted by alcoholism, largely because they weren't born again. My father was a womanizer and drunkard who never wanted to be a father, his own father being a raging, angry alcoholic. My mother was molested by her drunken father when she was young, leading her into multiple failed marriages and difficulty raising 2 boys as a single mother. These produce serious precipitous effects on my brother and I, from which we both have had to be delivered by the power of God. Both my brother and I came to the place where consuming alcohol was never an option, nor did we permit it in our respective homes. So now we have molestation and sexual sin, sexual crimes. Pedophilia. So add to the testimony of alcohol, pedophilia. Testimony 15. My sister's daughter, so we would say my niece, started drinking in high school and college. She became an alcoholic and was sent to rehab, which she ended up leaving early and stayed with my mom. She started going to AA, helped mom and dad cook and clean, and eventually she had not had a drink in a year or so. As she seemed well, she went to live with her parents and had a job at a grocery store, reconnected with her boyfriend, became engaged with the condition that she would never drink again. Her fiance is a lieutenant in the Marines, and one day he picked her up. She grabbed her backpack and out fell a bottle of wine. It's not exactly something you carry in a backpack. He then proceeded to tell her that it was over with them and ended up leaving. He called my sister, the mother, and let her know what had happened and said that he was very concerned. My sister, I'm assuming the mother, ran into the house only to see my niece lift up a gun and shoot herself. Of course, this is devastating. She was a beautiful 21-year-old trapped by the effects of alcohol. Here, well, I will sarcastically insert, but we're free. All things in moderation. Of these testimonies, would you want any of your children raised? I wouldn't either. I wouldn't want my kids around any of this. And for those that have shared, and these are your testimonies, I pray that, and I really hope that you find solace and deliverance, just being able to share it, being able to hear it, being able to process it. Somebody shared that even their testimony, writing it down, helped them see, oh my goodness, that was messed up. When you're in it, you don't realize what it is, but as you get out and look back, you realize, wow, that's not right. Testimony 16. Thankfully, I did not have alcohol in my immediate family, and I knew of it. It's casual cookout use in my extended family. I have one memory of my paternal grandfather who died of lung cancer from smoking, and that is of him sitting in an upstairs hallway holding a beer can as I greeted him, and he stared at me, looking as if he was unsure about who I was. I'm very grateful to not have had alcohol framed for me as an inhibitor as a child. I was disinterested in it in college, where I saw it make people lose sound judgment. With all the advertisements and everything else vying for space in your mind, I disdained the idea of yielding mental control and dishonoring my responsibility of stewardship. That's pretty sound judgment. Testimony 17, my dad was an alcoholic. It destroyed his marriage, his family, and his health. He died at the early age of 59 due to health issues from years of drinking. Early death. We maybe should have made a list of the testimony of alcohol. So we have anger, abuse, fear, pedophilic molestation, suicide, and now early death. Does that sound like the fruit of the Spirit? Does any of that sound praiseworthy? Testimony 18, alcohol caused me to lose my virginity. Alcohol caused me to embarrass myself. Alcohol caused me to dishonor my God. Alcohol brought death to my finances. Alcohol caused high blood pressure. Alcohol caused me to show my body. Alcohol caused me to believe it was my joy. Testimony 19. Alcohol once completely controlled my life and on multiple occasions almost took me out. I would wake up after a night of drinking, which was almost every night during this time of life, and have no clue where I was or how I got there. I would find myself in dark alleys, trash bins, total strangers' houses, jail, the woods, car wrecks, etc. Physically, I lost several of my teeth one night and woke up not knowing how they were knocked out of my mouth. I have woken with multiple wounds, scratches, and broken bones after drinking. I sold my body and slept with multiple different people while drunk, violating my body. Alcohol made me numb to everyone and everything, and it drove my every action. This meant hurting everyone around me that I ever cared for and losing everything I had ever worked for. Alcohol alters your state of mind to the point of bringing yourself to destruction and death. After being addicted to it for a few years, I am 100% convinced there's nothing good about alcohol and it only leads to death. If I had drunk alcohol any longer, I'm sure I would not have made it out alive. Everyone around me and my family or friends that have ever drunk alcohol have similar experiences. Unfortunately, I know multiple people who have died as an alcoholic. It's not a good way to die. Die in faith, die serving Jesus, don't die pickled livered. Testimony 20, 18 more to go. I was exposed to alcohol at age 10. That was the first time I was ever truly under the influence. Can you imagine being drunk at 10? That's my Abigail's age. It became my identity. From a young age, I watched my family get drunk and fight with each other. Sometimes weapons were involved, sometimes not. My parents saw no issue with my drinking until I had already spiraled to a dangerous level. I remember going to a funeral of a friend whose mother had just passed away from a deadly combination of alcohol and prescription drugs. I insisted after the funeral we all have margaritas at the Mexican restaurant. Little did I know how impactful that would be to their family. I was selfish and addicted. How many nights I put my life and other lives at risk to drive home drunk. It's truly a miracle I never hurt anyone or myself. My whole life revolved around my identity in the bar life. How many nights I went home with random people, never expecting to get hurt or anything bad to happen. I eventually lost all mental connection. I would hurt others, hurt myself. So many nights I would go home sick and vomiting just to wake up the next day and do it all over again. One night, I was so distraught and drunk, I was running around my apartment fully naked, screaming at the top of my lungs, and had the cops called on me because someone thought I was being hurt. They took me to the hospital. I was combative and fighting all the nurses and doctors to the point I had to be manually restrained. I eventually fought so hard to get out of the restraints, they had to medically tranquilize me. I was so full of alcohol and adrenaline that it took over an hour, or what felt like that, for me to eventually go out. I was at a party one night, drunk and high on drugs, went to the bathroom and came out and someone had been stabbed. We all left knowing how intoxicated we were just to avoid speaking to the cops. Eventually, my family separated themselves from me, took my vehicle. I had to walk to work and ride a bike where I could. Truly, that was the smartest thing for me at the time. My alcoholism caused so much strain between my family and friends, put me in dangerous situations, and cost me more than I can probably fathom at this point. I advocate strongly for no alcohol, no matter how much self-control you have. This is just scratching the surface of things that have happened to me and my family due to my drinking and theirs. It's a miracle I'm sober, and don't kid yourself. The devil comes back knocking, and without Jesus, I would be back in that hole today. No matter what value was on my life, it only takes one drink to send you down a path you never wanted to be on. You may think it's fun, but it's dangerous, and only a matter of time before it begins to destroy something in your life. Amen. Testimony 21. My husband was an alcoholic when we first got married. He wrecked his motorcycle. The second wreck totaled his vehicle and put a girl in the hospital for about 3 months, as I remember. He finally was in the foyer of church praying one night at a prayer service. He prayed to be delivered. He was instantly delivered and he has never relapsed. He wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole now, and that was 40 years ago. Can you imagine the burden knowing you killed somebody in your car because you were drunk? You would have to live with that the rest of your life if you didn't go to jail for vehicular homicide. Testimony 22. While not as awful as some other testimonies about alcohol, I'm sure, alcohol has divided my natural family, especially on my mom's side. Everyone drinks and they tend to fellowship around their common love of alcohol. Let me interject my commentary here. That's a dumb thing to fellowship around. Fellowship around sports teams, fellowship around hunting rifles, fellowship around favorite movies, but you're gonna fellowship around your favorite whiskey? Different whiskeys, drink mix, their new favorite local brewery. What kind of fellowship is this? Oh, and they all claim to be Christians of some form or another. Their affinity for alcohol makes getting together as a big, quote, Christian family nigh impossible. When I was very young, all of my extended family was okay with abstaining from drinking while we had holiday get-togethers, but eventually they didn't like that. So now it's just me and my parents and my sister and our beloved church family at holidays. One uncle has been divorced twice and is about to get married again. One aunt divorced once and very unstable now. Many of my cousins are apostate, others lukewarm at best. My grandparents were okay with drinking when they were alive, although I really just remember it being beer, nothing hard, so pretty moderate in the world's terms. I can't help but wonder if my grandparents didn't drink or endorse it, and then my aunts and uncles too, how different things could have been. Testimony 23. This isn't a story of how alcohol ruined my life, but my best friend at the end of high school rededicated his life to the Lord at the end of his junior year. He was on fire those first few months after he rededicated. He called me one day that summer very conflicted. He had a huge stash of alcohol that he had spent a lot of money on, but also knew that he couldn't keep it anymore because he had repented and stopped drinking. I had just graduated high school myself and didn't know what to tell him, but the Holy Spirit helped me out. I was able to remember the story of David pouring out the water as an offering, so that's what I recommended he do and that God would see it as an offering too. He told me later that week that he'd poured out all of his alcohol. He hasn't turned back from serving God since. For him, alcohol was a reminder of sin, debauchery, darkness, depression, and living a compromised life as a teenage Christian. This season of repentance also included leaving his lukewarm church, where he described the youth group as being similar to a nightclub. All right, okay, praise the Lord. We like testimonies of deliverance, but it means we have to look at what horror you came from to appreciate the deliverance. Testimony 24. As a child in my parents' home, drinking was a social activity. I have no memory of tasting alcohol for the first time because it was always there in social activities, beer and hard liquor. I think I got drunk for the first time at 10. As a girl, I matured young physically, so that was a problem itself. Add alcohol to that, and it's easy to see that alcohol led to me acting much older than my age. By the age of 12, I'd lost my virginity, and that led to more partying. It wasn't unusual to hear my sister, 7 years older than me, come in after a binge and fall down the stairs to her room in the basement. Arguments were loud, and painful words were often exchanged during those intoxicated times. My sister and my dad fought constantly, and it was ugly. I saw an uncle almost lose his life to alcohol with liver failure. I saw friends injured, accidents happen while driving under the influence, almost losing my own life in an accident that happened when I was drunk. When I was a freshman in high school, I got invited to ride around with the popular kids. Alcohol was always part of that ride. It wasn't long before the girls who had been with us disappeared and I was left alone with the boys. Now, I've highlighted this because the sentence is a little confusing, so I've got to go back and tweak it. They would take me home saying my pay to be part of that night and partying was to pay up. That night of partying led to a gangbang in high school as a, I think, freshman. That's alcohol's testimony, people. It didn't matter if I didn't want to. And so we read in between the lines, gang rape because of alcohol in the home. That experience led me to stay with just one person, but alcohol was ever present and eventually other drugs were introduced. I'm thankful I never used needles, but what I did under the influence of alcohol and eventually the drugs still caused me to cringe today, long after being born again and living for Jesus. I experienced other physical abuse using alcohol, being punched in the face by my boyfriend while we were both drunk. What is fun or loving about that? As a believer in my early 20s, no one really addressed alcohol. They were more likely to tell us the baby dolls our kids were playing with were demonic than to address booze. Isn't that the truth? There was a knowing inside of me, I'm sure it was the Holy Ghost, that alcohol wasn't right. My own experiences taught me that too. For many years, we limited ourselves to a glass of wine at a meal or a wine cooler with the folks. It never felt right. Just felt like the old me I didn't want to be. It's been many years since family has even offered a glass of wine to me, and I'm thankful that they finally accepted I don't drink and that I don't drink because I don't want to dishonor my God or be a stumbling block to anyone. What has alcohol done for me and my family? Nothing but caused pain. Numb me to hurt and cause me to hurt others or be hurt more myself. I see no benefit, especially today when it's so often abused and flaunted, such a part of base behavior in the world and now the church. Jesus came to set us free, not put us back into bondage with substance abuse. It truly was like a millstone around my neck, dragging me to the bottom of the lake. I'm thankful not to go back there. Amen. Thank you, whoever that is, for sharing that. It's painful, horrific, and it causes a fervent passion in me for any preacher who would teach moderation. Testimony 25, in no order, it cost me time, lots of money. I got blackout drunk every time, so lost the self-control, made me very depressed, contributed to me being a whore, ripping a piece of trim off my wall, pooping on the floor. One time I stripped down and I thought I was on fire like the movie Talladega Nights when I wasn't, and I did a figure eight pattern. I belly danced for some girls. I also would randomly scream like a banshee. Me and my uncle's marriages got ruined in part by it. Didn't help with my family being close at all since we got in fights a lot. I had my first drink at 7 and never knew restraint. So alcohol, bad. I would think that's a fair assumption. That's a pretty fair estimation. Testimony 26. Growing up, I thought everything in my family was perfect and that I had a normal family. Now as an adult, I look back and see how things were. When I was about 10 years old, I found alcohol in a garage refrigerator. I brought it to my mom and she quickly made an excuse saying it was not hers and definitely not my dad's and that I didn't need to ask him, which tells me it's hers. I took her word for it and didn't think about it again. Again, looking back, I can see just how much my mom was hiding with men, alcohol, cigarettes, scratch-off tickets, etc. So here's another testimony of adultery. These addictions had such a hold on my mom that she could not talk any sense to her. You could not talk any sense to her. She didn't see the big deal and would justify every action she took. After high school, I had the choice to either follow in her footsteps or become a genuine Christian. When I confronted her on issues, we would have yelling matches that didn't accomplish anything. I decided to move out. Our relationship didn't last much after that, and now we have no relationship. Her addictions have caused her to lose her adult children one by one. She now lives alone with no one around her in her old age. I'm not sure if it started with alcohol, but it was one of the things that helped bring our family to ruin. Alcohol has affected me and my siblings. My sister had to go to the hospital due to being drunk and was in an accident. I started drinking and smoking when I was 10 years old. Most of the time, you do not just do one thing. If you drink, you smoke, or you sleep around, or do drugs, or all of the above. I put myself in so many questionable places. It wasn't until I had a life-altering event in my family that caused me to wake up and start living for God. I have had alcohol. I think I have been buzzed twice. I've never been drunk and I've never been like a social drinker. But all of these testimonies are saying, this is what we did before we served God. This is what we did before we gave our life to Christ and were serious for him. And the point of all the curriculum we've written so far is that alcohol has no real place in the church, especially the American church, because we have no self-control. And these testimonies hurt my heart. Testimony 27. For me personally, I grew up in a, quote, moderation household. My parents didn't frequently drink to excess. But on occasion, my mom would have to cut my dad off. I can't remember much ever coming from it other than the great sense of hypocrisy it gave all of us kids who were told not to drink while watching our parents drink every weekend. Turns out, quote, do as I say, not as I do, unquote, didn't work for any of us kids. But even when you got caught with booze, not much ever came of it other than dad would invite his buddies over into the house to drink all your booze they confiscated, while reminding me that you shouldn't drink. Unless, of course, they gave it to you for special occasions like Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgiving, the sun was shining, they were happy that day, et cetera, et cetera. When I joined Cookeville Christian Fellowship, which is our church back in the day, that was our name then, I was regularly buying alcohol for my older siblings and hiding it in various stashes, kind of like Otis from Andy Griffith. But to God's glory, after I rededicated my life, the desire to drink just went away. Almost like having Christ in your life delivers people. I suppose it was a Jericho moment for me because the rest of my sins, well, they put up a battle to get them out of my life. Testimony 28, when I was younger, just starting out, we drank pretty much most of the time. And when I got married, we still drank pretty much every weekend at a club. I'm still not sure everything that happened during that time, between myself and others, and between my wife and others, we would buy a quart of Jack Daniels and finish it that night and then drive home. After around 20 years later, I found out that two of my friends had supposedly had sex with my wife, not sure consensual or not. I finally stopped drinking altogether because I could see what it was doing to us. After all this, there was never any trust left. It separated a lot. Years later, I look back and wonder, what were we thinking? I have not drunk in over 40 years now and will never go back. It is a demon. Thank our God he preserved me. So he's not sure if they raped his wife or they just consensually had sex while drunk. Testimony 29. I was blessed to be raised in an environment that didn't use alcohol or tobacco. There have been two instances where I have had alcohol in my mouth. First, a broil was being made with beer, tasted it, and thought it to be disgusting. Second, an experience in college that taught me a lifelong lesson. My freshman spring quarter, several of the guys on my dorm floor organized a weekend cabin at Edgar Evans State Park. There was alcohol everywhere, but I had no interest in it and was well outspoken that I was not participating in that. We needed to make a run to the local market, and I was elected to drive as being the only one sober, supposedly there. However, in driving, it became very apparent that I did not have control of my faculties as I should, even the point of being concerned that I would not wreck. I realized that someone had spiked one of my sodas somewhere along the line. No one ever owned up to it and concluded these were people who really did not care about me. This incident cemented A, how dangerous alcohol could be, and B, I have to be really careful about where and who I'm allow myself to fellowship with. So what friends to spike your drink and then send you out to go get more? I would add in my two cents here, I don't trust drinkers. I don't trust people who drink, because they, I don't say they hate themselves, they don't respect themselves. Testimony 30. We'll go ahead and tell you this is Joe Kalis's, because I try to edit out names, and then it's Chicago Joe. This thing's 3 pages long, just to be clear. It is a good story. I read it yesterday driving back from Indiana. My dad, Dieter, that's fun, was born in Germany and came to the U.S. when he was 8. From what I'm told, culturally, Germans drink when they're kids, so it was apparently always a part of my dad's life. He was 31 when I was born, and he was very social, a very social person in general, loved by everyone for being so fun, and he was. That was Dietz. And I have vivid memories of our family holidays in my aunt's basement with the whole German family, and they were wild. All his siblings were 14 plus years older and always drinking. Mind you, at family parties, it was happy, the prototypical Germans sitting at the bar singing loudly in German, swinging around literal beer steins, concluded with ziggy zaggy, ho, ho, ho. I actually have very fond memories of those family parties as a kid. Everyone was always having such a good time. As I think back now, I couldn't have even comprehended the damage that was doing to our family in those young years of my life, but it did create, quote, my normal. So enter my mom into the background of my dad, a bit of a wild child, as I'm told by my aunt and some of my friends since she's passed away, and a very emotionally weak person who used alcohol to dull her emotional pain, from what I still don't know. I can remember as young as 10 years old, after we moved to the suburbs, my parents both drunk, yelling and fighting with each other on a fairly regular basis. As a kid, I didn't think of it. It was just my normal. In 1997, I was 16, and in the middle of high school, my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and that only accentuated the alcoholism, somewhat understandably so. She was already emotionally fragile and an alcoholic, so was my dad, but that disease sent her down a spiral of depression, prescription drugs, and more alcohol. Maybe 1 to 2 years after her MS diagnosis, she lost her ability to walk and became wheelchair bound. Naturally, she could no longer drive, so she couldn't buy alcohol anymore. It was okay, though. My dad always had plenty. But once she started drinking herself to blackout, even my dad cut her off. No worries, though. For a while, she tricked my dad into getting her Scope mouthwash because it had a small amount of alcohol in it. I can't count how many times I would come home from high school and find my mom passed out, blackout drunk, oftentimes on the toilet, sometimes naked, sometimes with her cigarettes burning holes in her shirt, sometimes all of the above. I can still smell her room. It was just insane, but that was my normal. Over the years, my mom was in and out of rehab for the drinking, but it never worked long term, and the MS just made it much worse. I couldn't even imagine the depression she must have been going through, but being in high school, I was very much dealing with my own emotional navigation, so I don't really know what I thought about it at the time. It was just my life. It was my normal, and I found music and alcohol as my own escape from it. Today, I can think back and understand that my coping mechanism was just to play it off, make excuses for my otherwise very loving parents. We were spoiled rotten and they loved us well and everyone else loved them. It had become an emotional stuffer towards it all and just move along controlling what I could control. Hence my severe control problem to this day. Later in life, after I told my wife one time too many that I had a very loving family life and what I experienced was not traumatic simply because they loved us, got us whatever we wanted and took us on nice vacations, I saw a Christian counselor who helped me realize that it was most definitely trauma, even though I tried to cope with it by pretending like it was normal. My counselor introduced me to the concept of emotional abandonment and expressed to me that just because my parents loved me, that didn't mean that I was brought up well. They failed to provide me emotional safety, that in their drunkenness, they were neglecting me and my older brother, both in terms of emotional stability and safety. We were both left to grow up on our own in many ways because they truly weren't there for us. I almost got defensive of my parents about that because they loved us so much, but he was absolutely right. At my mom's funeral, our best friend, whose kids we were very close friends with, asked me if I knew why we were always at their house. Dumbfounded, I said, I just thought we were good friends. She informed me something that my parents never told me. My dad would bring my brother and I over to their house when their drunken fighting got so bad that they didn't think we should have been there. What an update on my mom at her memorial service. Who knew? Speaking of my older brother, when I was 14 when I first went to visit him at his frat brothers at Eastern Illinois University, and they taught me about beer bongs and how to properly puke off of a balcony. That's a good skill if you're gonna be a drunk. Drinking was just normal to me. My family moved to the south suburbs after my eighth grade year, going into high school, same time as my brother went to college. Our house had a big pool with a really nice deck. And because my parents were so loving and loved by all, the cool parents, they would let my brother's college friends come party at our house. And as long as my high school friends didn't drive, they could party with us too. My parents, my college brother and his frat brothers, and high school Joe and a couple of his buddies, man, did we have some parties there. Naturally, Dietz was the life of the party. It was just my normal. So in my house, even though I didn't realize that all of this was incredibly traumatic, it's all I knew. Alcohol was just part of life, and because I had no way to tell my parents to be better, it was just normalized to me and eventually even encouraged. My parents were lovingly married until they each died almost 30 years. And we had some good times and were spoiled, rotten, no discipline, all party. When I went to Illinois State in 1999, I became a concert promoter and became known pretty well in town for it and naturally carried on the legacy of throwing fun keg parties. Innocent enough, I suppose, but mostly did it because that's all I knew. And it was not only not discouraged by my parents, but encouraged in following a legacy. So I suppose after explaining all this together, I've never really pieced all this together at once, it makes a whole lot of sense why it's hard for me to give up the idea that I can just drink, have a drink or two to unwind. It's my normal. But the trauma I've endured is not normal at all. It's not okay, and I deserve better. But 44 years down the road, I'm a creature of habit, and quitting eating and drinking has always been incredibly difficult. For some insane reason, when I think of drinking to unwind, I only think of the fun times we had, not the dark, disgusting, traumatic things I went through and watching my parents. Man, I've got six more, and we're running out of time. Alcohol, Testimony 31. Growing up, my parents were separated. Both of them were alcoholics, so it was a constant influence in my life. The first alcoholic drink I had was given to me by my mother when I was 13, and that same night, she also smoked marijuana with me. When I turned 16, I also started drinking and smoking with my dad. Alcohol severely perverts judgment. I remember thinking back then, I can't believe they're doing this with me. Through the years, I took substance abuse to the next level and started using opiates and amphetamines. I was constantly chasing a feeling. I don't recall times of true joy, peace during those years, just depression, anxiety, physical and emotional pain. There are instances that I only remember waking up and not what I had done the night before, where I'd been or who I'd been with. I've woke up in strangers' beds and in bathtubs half-dressed, in backyards with cigarette burns through my pants, in jail and bar bathrooms and several other places of embarrassment. The amount of fear and shame this brings is hard to explain. Regardless of what drug I was addicted to at the time, alcohol was always there, like something to lean on until the harder drugs came back around. For me, alcohol led to harder drugs, full-blown addiction, and an abusive relationship with someone who was physically and sexually abusive. I've been strangled, pistol whipped, locked in a room for days on end, and shot at. There's no denying he could have killed me on several occasions. If alcohol prevents judgment, imagine how much more so when other substances are involved. This is my only explanation for staying with him as long as I did. Had I not called out to God to deliver me, I don't think I would be alive today. Either my addiction or a violent drunkard would have killed me. Testimony 32, my history, both alcoholic and afterward, drugs were introduced to me from my ex-husband and present in my dating and married life. I tried to be both part of his life and the crowd's life, but it's really a lie. Both are selfish, caring for our own buzz and high. It wasn't long afterwards that I personally stopped both focusing on the alcohol, since this is the topic. I saw alcohol, how the alcohol affected my mind and body. I only got sick and vomited with hard liquor. Alcohol is dangerous. Personally, at a camping trip with my then fiance and his family, I drank too fast, and the next thing I know, they said I almost fell into the campfire and was carried to the camper to sleep it off. When my then fiance husband drank, it was very embarrassing to me. His lack of inhibition in public led him to say and act very embarrassing things and actions. I just wanted to hide. When he was drunk, I was often the target of verbal abuse. He sometimes would become violent and would punch walls at home, yet never hit me, but was real close. After I stopped being part of his drinking and doing drugs, it only became an avenue for my ex-husband to find other women who would. Adultery. From my upstairs neighbor, whom he conceived a child with, he later showed me a picture of the child that really emotionally hurt me, not only for myself, but for the neighbor, for the dump neighbor and the child, Connie, whom he gave the name I had chosen if I had a girl. Yes, double hurt. To all the nights at local bars, my brother later confessed to me of the many women he was with. Affecting my son, I parted from my husband when my son was 12 years old. 99% of everything that happened to me was never disclosed in front of our son. He never knew the adultery, the abuse. I had never really discussed this hurtful season with my son and always tried to shield him from it. I do know that in my son's growing up years, my then husband was never really there for him. I remember my son's disappointments and hurt of promises of fishing trips together and never kept. Alcohol and drugs took precedence in my husband's life. So conclusion, alcohol, bad. Testimony 33, I lost my virginity. Testimony 34, alcohol followed by various drugs was the vice that took hold of my father's life. How has alcohol affected my life? It turned my father into a drunk, high, shiftless man who was no good to or for himself and damaging to me. Alcohol destroyed my father and any chance for a little girl to know and be loved by her father. Testimony 35, in the season when we at church were justifying alcohol, just so you know, back 20 years ago, this church justified alcohol. We had a lot of drinkers in this church. So this person is speaking of that season. He says, I was ministering in the jail. I had a young man ask me to pray for him. He was in jail for a DUI. AA had been unable to help him, and another program had not worked either. He asked me to pray for him, and I agreed. But when I went to pray for him, I could only give him a token prayer. I had no authority and no power. I realized that my God would not help me in this, and I could not help that man. After that, my wife and I changed our stance and decided it did not matter. If others could drink, we would not. People are more important. That's probably the most succinct way of saying it. People are more important than alcohol. Testimony 36, drinking alcohol was not in my home growing up. It was holidays when we would go to my uncle's father's house, my uncle's, my father's brother's, that all the adults would drink. It was during these times that my uncle's hugs and kisses became a lot more than a kiss on the cheek. Looking back, that is also when I started having issues with anger, self-harm, and eating disorders. I was 10 or 11 years old. Drugs and sexual activity followed shortly after. I married a man who was an alcoholic, multiple DUIs, loss of license, financial issues, plus the effects on the children. Divorce produced more pain for the children. Today, the grown children have their own issues due to the environment raised in. One is homeless and an addict. One struggles on occasion with drinking to excess. All have to deal with trust issues. I have seen alcohol be part of the death of three of my siblings, caused the wreck that killed a cousin his family, a lot of pain, hurt, messed up lives that might have been avoided. Final testimony, 37. I said 38, but I'm over time. Let me finish this one. 37. I grew up watching my dad struggle with alcoholism, and I swore that I would never drink. I saw the pain it caused and how it altered a person's actions under the influence. Although it was never my intention, at the age of 22, after backsliding, it was the very thing the enemy used to open me up to darkness, leading to 5 years of debauchery and deep sin. Cookeville has a strange culture around alcohol, unlike anything I've ever seen anywhere else. Every bar has its own vibe, and those who drink can't seem to help but hop from bar to bar, being led by what I believe is a demonic stronghold. There was so much blackmail, abuse, condemnation, and disturbing sin going on that I can only imagine how much worse it is now. Alcohol is a slippery path that drags people into self-deluded doctrines, making up excuses to justifying drinking. I have no respect for any Christian who claims to love God, yet willingly partakes in alcohol of any amount without conviction. It would be different if it were a genuine struggle and they desired deliverance. But based on my more than 10 years of working in restaurants in this area, I have seen many Christians, including pastors, leave church on Sunday mornings only to go drink in large groups and on other days as well. If alcohol is the fence, they just hold two or three out of text Bible verses to cross that fence. How easy is it for the enemy who owns the fence to add even more darkness as they continue excusing their addiction? That was my struggle when trying to quit, and it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to give up. I'm thankful for these lessons, and I hope we all take them to heart. This is the last one. I used to travel out of town with construction. My coworkers would drink at night in the hotels. Just to fit in, I would drink a hard lemonade, only one a night. That became a habit that I eventually brought home to my wife. She began to drink because I said it was all right. In no time at all, she was drinking everything and getting drunk regularly. I still only had one hard lemonade a night. Her drinking led to experimentation with porn, which led to weird sexual things. She eventually left me for a woman. One hard lemonade a night destroyed my marriage. Father, may we take seriously the doctrine of alcohol. May we realize people are more important than our right to drink anything other than water. Father, I ask you to heal the hearts of the people who've shared these testimonies. I have no doubt there's still pain and shame there. But Lord, you're the God that heals us, delivers us. You pour in the balm of Gilead, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus living according to the Spirit. Father, I pray that these lessons on alcohol will help clean the body of Christ up and remove from us any lame carnal excuse for this dangerous vice. In Jesus' name, amen.